Vice President J.D. Vance was in Wisconsin yesterday telling people to re-elect Republican Derek Van Orden. He's in a tough fight for the representation of Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district. It's Friday, February 27th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Wisconsin voters tell a pollster they're unlikely to support new school referendums. And Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says negotiations with the governor on a tax deal are in the early stages, but he's optimistic.
The good news is we both agree on the idea that property taxes are too high and we need to do something about it.
Stay with us.
Show your support for WPR wherever you go. Ask for the new WPR window cleaner for your gift of any amount. It features WPR's logo and can be placed anywhere you want.
We've had window clings in the past, and I'm glad that we got a revamp of this one. So if you already have one, it's a new design for the window cling.
It would also be really nice for, like, my apartment window.
This would go in my car.
Anywhere that has a window.
Give now any amount at WPR.org.
Vice President J.D. Vance was in Plover yesterday to boost Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden's re-election bid. Rich Kramer reports his pitch focused on affordability and tax cuts that he said would not have been possible without Van Orden.
Vance stood on a stage inside the Point Precision Manufacturing facility. Large banners that said lower prices, bigger paychecks hung above bleachers filled with supporters beside him. The vice president touted economic prosperity by way of tax cuts under President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill Act. Vance said it would not have happened without Van Orden.
Remember, it was Derek Van Orden who made it happen, and it was congressional Democrats who tried to stop it. So we're going to send Derek Van Orden back to Washington? Yes.
Vance's stump speech in western Wisconsin highlights the national significance of Van Orden's race against Democrat Rebecca Cook. To flip the U.S. House, the Democratic Party only needs a net gain of 3 seats. The 3rd District is considered a toss-up. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin voters say they're more concerned with reducing their property taxes than increasing funding for public schools. That's according to the latest Marquette Law School poll. The poll also found voters were unlikely to support a school referendum. Voters' negative attitude towards school finances comes at a time when public education advocates are pushing the state legislature to do more for schools. Wisconsin's school funding system is a complex mix of state aid, property taxes, and federal funding. Poll director Charles Franklin says for more than a dozen years, schools have not gotten increases in state aid that they've wanted.
So if they can't get that money, the only way to get it is through property taxes and going to referenda on schools.
Voters questioned were equally divided on whether the legislature has failed to provide enough funding for public schools or whether schools must live within their budgets. Prior to its closure last year, Northland College in Ashland borrowed about $22 million from its endowment fund to cover a looming financial shortfall. As Danielle Kading reports, the college revealed in court filings this week that only $3 million of the donor-restricted funding remains.
Northland filed a petition asking Ashland County's Circuit Court to release restrictions on remaining funds so they can be given to donors and nonprofit groups. That includes the Burke Center for Ecosystem Research. The group is continuing the work of Northland's original Burke Center that was created through a $10 million restricted endowment in 2015. The center's executive director, Peter Annan, said many questions remain.
We are pleased that the Northland College Trustees petition recognizes the important restrictions on what remains of the Mary Griggs Burke Endowment Fund and that they are abiding by the donor's intent.
An attorney for Northland and its board didn't respond to a request for comment. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The company behind the Old Wisconsin Smoked Sausage brand is planning a $125 million expansion in Sheboygan. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation made that announcement yesterday. Illinois-based Carl Buttig & Company purchased a large manufacturing facility in Sheboygan from Johnsonville in 2024. The company plans to renovate the plant to make its old Wisconsin product line. According to WEDC, the new facility will expand production capacity and create 75 new jobs. The agency is supporting the project with $2.75 million in tax credits. That incentive is dependent on the company hitting job creation and investment targets. Last week, Republican Robin Voss announced that he will step down as Assembly Speaker at the end of his term after serving a record 13 years. Voss's retirement comes as Republicans in the legislature could still strike a deal with Governor Evers on property tax relief and with midterm elections and an open governor's race. Wisconsin Today host Kate Archer Kent spoke with Speaker Voss yesterday about what the legislature might still accomplish this year and to look back on his career and legacy.
Your negotiations over the state's budget surplus with Governor Evers, it started with a laser focus on lowering property taxes, but a couple factors that could affect that, the governor's 400-year partial veto and more general state aid for schools, those, you know, seem to be off the table. Have your talks gotten off track?
I don't think so. I mean, they're still in the very early stages. I would say the good news is we both agree on the idea that property taxes are too high and we need to do something about it. We think it's best to be able to get the money either directly back to the people who are paying the bill so that they can decide how best to spend it, or putting it into direct relief where it goes on the property tax bill and you'll be able to see the reduction. The governor wants to give the money to schools, you know, a different way of getting the money out the door. We're certainly open to finding something in the middle, but it's probably not going to be all his way or all our way. We're going to have to find a compromise.
The plan that you and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu backed earlier this month is a more than $2.3 billion package. It's pairing a tax rebate with additional funding for special education and then the one-time tax rebates. But it would nearly completely erase the state's projected budget surplus. Can the state afford to take that step when any number of factors could leave us in a deficit?
There's no doubt we can, because don't forget, in the last budget that we passed, we left a pretty healthy balance of $500 million. The good news for Wisconsinites is that we have a huge rainy day fund. We actually have so much in the rainy day fund by statute, we stopped putting more into it. And we also have a statutory balance. So all of those are already built into the equation. So the money that came in, about $2 billion more than we thought. So now, rather than keeping that money in Madison, we think it's important to get it back to people who are paying high costs of everything associated with inflation. So, yeah, we certainly can do it. And the idea of trying to make sure we're responsible, I mean, in the plan we gave the governor, it's a one-time rebate. So we would know certainly the money is there. It's whether or not we can keep it going forward. So if the governor wants to have something more permanent, I'm certainly open to that. But again, it can't just be all spending. It has to be tax relief mixed in with some increased funding for schools.
There was zero increase of general state aid for public schools in this two-year budget. And now we hear superintendents from districts all over the state who are asking the legislature to set aside politics and increase school funding. Now there's a lawsuit against the legislature. You know, schools are having trouble with basic things, keeping lights on, keeping the heat on, trying to make payroll. You know, what will Republicans do about that? Why isn't there action?
Well, there has been action, which is why, if you go back to that bipartisan budget that Governor Evers signed, we actually did exactly what the schools requested. They said put the resources into special ed, which is why we had the largest increase really in the history of the program. So that is exactly what they asked us to do. Now, one of the things that Wisconsinites probably aren't aware of, but there are 10,000 fewer students that are in first grade than students are in seniors in high school. So we have declining populations of students in almost every single school district in the state. And the idea that we're going to be able to keep every school district the exact same as it was and every school open with fewer students every single year just because of birth rates, that's got to change. So we want to make sure that school districts are making wise decisions. I mean, they have the ability to figure out what to do. Many of them decided to max out because of the governor's 400-year veto property tax increases. So I'm certainly open to the idea that we would put it into property tax relief, but just putting it into more spending without any kind of accountability built in is bad for the taxpayer and certainly not going to fix the problem because we have this declining enrollment issue.
That was WPR host Kate Archer-Kent speaking with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. You can hear the full interview at WPR.org/WisconsinToday. Coming up, it's the latest story in the Status Pending series about navigating the immigration system. Stay with us.
There's a certain spirit about being a Wisconsinite.
On Wisconsin Weekend, we celebrate that by exploring the stories that make the state special.
And we meet people doing interesting things who don't always make it into the headlines.
Connect with your Wisconsin community on Wisconsin Weekend.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. The Status Pending podcast from WUWM takes an in-depth look at what people experience when they go through the U.S. immigration system. In this week's episode, we meet Gal Dahan. She was an international student in Milwaukee for 6 years, and now she's trying to figure out if there's a way for her to stay in the United States. WUWM's Audrey Norikowski introduces us to her in this preview.
Gal is from Beit Yehoshua, a small village in Israel. And ever since she was little, she loved basketball, a sport she's been playing since she was six. It's actually what motivated her to go to college abroad.
The United States is the only place where you can combine education and sports in such a high level. So you can be a student and you can be an athlete. And in the United States, you can be a student athlete.
Gal didn't come to the U.S. for college right after she finished high school. In Israel, service in the military is mandatory after high school for those who are capable. Gal served as a combat instructor for 2 years. Then she did some traveling.
What's very common about the Israeli culture, which I love, after we've been so under rules and so strict for a couple years, we go and travel. So I traveled with my best friend in New Zealand and Australia.
In 2018, Gal started the process to study abroad. She was working with private agents who help international student athletes specifically. They built a profile of her stats, basketball videos, things that American coaches can look at for recruitment.
And then they had a system that pretty much sends like hundreds and hundreds of emails to all over the country, to coaches, to schools. And you go to sleep at night and you pray that someone will reach out.
And a couple did. After her first offer fell through, Gal turned to Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee. She called up the basketball coach there to talk about the offer.
And I said, hey, is this still available? Can we do it? He said, let's talk. The next day we talked. The next day I signed, a week after I showed up here.
It took Gal about a year and a half to take the steps to get an F1 student visa. She took the ACT and a test of English as a foreign language. One of the things you should know about student visas is that you have to prove you can pay tuition. Gal was lucky. She had support from her family and a partial athletic scholarship, so tuition wasn't a problem. But she was less certain about the next part of the process, interviewing with the U.S. Embassy in Israel.
That day is so anxiety-provoking because you're like, I'm going to go to the embassy, and they're going to stare at me and ask me all the hard questions. So I had all the documents in one, like, packet. You give it to them, and they start to question you. Why are you doing this? Why are you coming to the States? What's your means? You say you're a student. You say you're an athlete. Can you tell us what you're playing? Things like that. That they want to see that you're coming here with good intention.
Gal's visa was approved on the same day as the interview. Within 2 weeks, a student visa sticker was added to her passport, and she was free to fly to the U.S. Studying abroad doesn't just benefit international students. Colleges benefit too. For one, international students don't often get scholarships unless they're tied to athletics, so that means more money. Plus, international students can help a college create a more diverse campus. And for colleges struggling with declining enrollment, international students can help with that too. The school Gal went to, Cardinal Stritch University, actually closed due to low enrollment soon after she graduated. Most colleges have an international office that works with foreign students. The colleges also work with U.S. Homeland Security, which issues paperwork, vets students, and monitors whether schools follow federal guidelines. So both the students and the colleges have to keep their paperwork up to date with the federal government.
That was a preview of WUWM's new podcast, Status Pending. You can hear the full episode at WUWM.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. And finally, we'll end the show with a quick check of your forecast. It's going to be really windy today with high temperatures in the 40s and 50s, so pretty warm. But those gusts near 20 miles per hour across the state and wind gusts near 40 miles per hour at times in the north. Overnight, cloudy, windy, and much colder with lows in the teens and the 20s. And a real cool down coming this weekend, despite the fact that we're in the 40s and 50s today. Highs tomorrow only getting into the 20s. We could see lots of snow in central Wisconsin tomorrow, and highs still only getting into the 20s again by Sunday. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.